I've had a lot of corporate jobs, and all of those positions, I work with other programmers, kind of the CTOs and other people. And so I'm always reaching out to those folks. I'm always really networking and building a network with those people, and I always have been. So I'm not waiting until I'm looking for, you know, until I get fired or I lose my job or get laid off. I'm actually always seeking out the next thing.
Is your business struggling right now? You might think that it's because you don't have enough sales, but the reality is it's because you don't have the attention of the marketplace. This is attention equals dollars. You deserve more. Your business deserves more. And I'm here to teach you everything that I know on how to get the attention that you need and to turn that attention into dollars. Hey, welcome to the Attention Equals Dollars podcast. I'm your host, Luke Nessler. Listen, this show is all about teaching you how to get attention online and turn that attention into sales, into dollars for your business, right? How do you navigate the roadmap of digital, of social media? My job is to bring to you not only my expert knowledge, but my expert friends. And today I've got a guest that I'm really excited about, somebody that we've recently built a relationship with, we're going to do a lot of business with, and he's already helping a lot of people. And he's somebody that I'm excited for you to meet because I think he can help you as well. I have my friend Jeremy Callahan with us today. Jeremy's been in the tech space and the mobile app development space since 98. Now what he does is he helps people market, develop, and really make successful their apps. And the reason I brought him on with me today is because it's a question that I get asked all the time by clients, large as well as little small clients, people that are just starting their business. They're confused on, do I need an app or do I need a website? Do I need any of that? So I've brought the best guy that I could ask on the show today. Jeremy, appreciate you being here, man. Happy to have you.
Hey, thanks for having me on, dude. Appreciate it.
So before we dive into whether somebody needs an app, what they need to know about app development, how it can help you or hurt you in a business, tell me a little bit about yourself. You got started in the online space in 98. How did you get started in it? And what brought you to where we are today?
Well, you know, I was in college for political science, and I graduated. I became a paralegal, and I didn't know what the hell to do with my life. And I was in Vegas one day, and I came up with an idea for a website. I was on vacation. I was looking for a golf course, and I couldn't find a decent golf course other than you just looked in the Yellow Pages back then. And I spent a bunch of money to play a really crappy course, and I thought, what if you could fly, you know, like the helicopter, how it flies over the golf course, and you could. So what if we just had this for every golf course in the United States? And so I just decided to make it. No, some people were making websites back then, and I filmed it with my camera, and I taught myself everything. I went down to Borders, and I looked for books about how to create logins and passwords for websites. And I just basically learned all this knowledge and started a company around that. And, you know, was a programmer all through the basically 2000s till about 2011. Same thing happened. I saw the industry was changing with mobile apps. And I came up with an idea for a mobile app. I was at the baseball game, and I was in the club section, and the waiter came down, and I ordered from the waiter. And I thought, why do I need this waiter? What if I just did it through an app? And so I created a business around that called Ballpark Waiter. And ever since then, I've been doing mobile apps. And so we still
do. So really, what you're telling me, you're a problem solver, and that's cool to hear you say that, because it's something that I learned in entrepreneurship on, you know, if you're going to be great at this, the best way to be great at it is find problems and solve them. So my first business was a video production business. The problem I was solving was car dealership commercials were fucking terrible. So I can make a better TV ad. So I started to do that. Now, you know, the problem that we solve is people don't know how to market and advertise. They use the TV commercials, the radio ads, the billboard ads, yellow page ads as their only means of marketing. And we've essentially created a better vehicle. It sounds like that's all you've ever done since, you know, the 90s is find issues and use your tech background to solve them. So that's awesome. I love that. Yeah. So currently, what are you doing today? So obviously you have the hit podcast to app or not. App, which I was just on and I've been listening to. It's an awesome podcast. You're also on Matt Monero's You Need More Money podcast. Yeah. So in addition to the podcast, What does Jeremy Callahan do today? Do you work one-on-one with individuals? Do you build apps at scale?
So I do a number of things. I'm like Jamaican, man. I have multiple jobs. I work with corporate Fortune 500 companies. So some of the biggest. I just did an app last year for Universal Orlando. Just finished one for Safeway as well. So with the larger corporate clients, I'm usually managing the team. So it's much higher level stuff. I usually have an offshore team and an onshore team, and I manage that. And that's with bigger clients. Then I have smaller clients that come along. I have a guy named Gabe Tuff, who was in the WWE. He's a wrestling superstar. He's got a workout program. He's been selling on the web for the last couple of years. Converted him over to a mobile app. He's getting a ton of more customers now because everybody's in the app store, especially for a fitness app. And then, on top of all that, I got a few pet projects I do, little apps that I make that some of them generate some income. I have one a few years back I did called Shoe Swipe, which is essentially Tinder for shoes shopping. So you just swipe through left and right. Get some income off of that. I got another a golf teaching app that I'm working on with a buddy I've known for years that's going to generate a ton of money. So just kind of a little mix of everything.
I love it. So I'm glad that you said, you know, the larger clients that you're working with, because again, this podcast is called Attention Equals Dollars, and it's literally all about getting the attention of the marketplace or who you want to work with. So Jeremy, how do you get the attention of a bigger client like that? You're a solo entrepreneur, right? You work for yourself. Is that correct?
Yeah. And
how did you get Universal Orlando's attention, for example?
Well, I mean, you know, it's basically word of mouth. I've worked everywhere over the years. And like I said, I started in 98. So I've had a lot of corporate jobs, and all of those positions, I work with other programmers and kind of the CTOs and other people. And so I'm always reaching out to those folks. I'm always really networking and building a network with those people. And I always have been. So I'm not waiting till I'm looking for, you know, till I get fired or I lose my job or get laid off. I'm actually always seeking out the next thing. And so people know who I am. So I'm always, now it's the podcast. It's some other stuff that people are seeing me through. But before it was just email, good old fashioned email, staying in contact with people, sending people Christmas cards, Luke, always a good one. You know, not just a Christmas card. I actually write in the Christmas card like, hey, it was great working with you this last year, or even if I didn't work with you.
There's nothing that pisses me off more than when I get a digital Christmas card with somebody's signature that they wrote one time and photoshopped into like 150 cards and sent out. So yeah, written anything is the key. Now you mentioned email marketing in your podcast. So obviously the way we've built this business is our social media campaigns, but also using social media to build one-on-one individual relationships. And I'm glad we're having this conversation, because it sounds like you've also done the same thing. So you've used email, now you're using the podcast. The bottom line is your network is only so big if you're just doing it within your own town. If you're just using the Business Networking Internationals, the Rotary Chambers, going to lunch, you can only meet so many people. But like myself, you're using the online space to get that word of mouth at scale, to grow that network at a larger level. Would you agree?
Yeah, completely. Because, you know, it's a little different out here in San Francisco, because there's a startup event every night of some sort. And so there's just so much noise out there, not events, but like people, you know, and we were talking earlier about, you know, everybody's got a business card and a website, and a single guy can look like he's got 400 employees. And so when you go to these events, there's a lot of noise there. And so there was always kind of the way of, how do you get out of how do you stand out above everybody else and kind of work a little smarter within the room? I think the podcast does that. I think definitely the videos online do that. People start to see you. And not only that, if you meet somebody and then they come and look for your information and look for more about you, there's actually more there for them to look at. Yeah. Like, wow, I didn't realize you had a podcast. I didn't realize you have a YouTube channel.
So something that you said, everybody that's watching this on Facebook and YouTube Live or listening to the podcast, I want you to hear and to understand, because we're on the East Coast. Jeremy's on the West Coast, and he is in the heart of where issues that I see are coming from. There are a lot of fake ass entrepreneurs that position themselves as millionaires to where now you're like, man, that guy's got a lot of money, so he must be doing something right. And really they're just above broke or at broke. They drive a busted, beat up vehicle, but then they rent out a $200,000, $200,000 Audi and take photos in front of it. So there are a lot of fake entrepreneurs out there that are promoting their brand online. The key to your success, and I think this is probably, Jeremy, where you've been successful as well, is you've got to show me what you've actually done. Anybody can talk about, you know, oh, I'm the CEO, but you're also the janitor, the bookkeeper, and everything else because you're the only guy that works on your business. And, you know, look at this BMW that my mom pays the monthly car payment on. So there's all these things that there is a lot of noise out there.
Yeah.
Jeremy, how have you shown what you've actually done, and what are some things that my audience could learn from, the where you've obviously had a successful career, but you've shown that in multiple ways. So what are some ways that you actually show the value that you bring to the marketplace so that people know you're the real deal?
Well, I think, you know, like getting back to what you were saying about the faking and stuff like that, like here, everybody, like you come up with an idea for an app and then you go pitch it around and maybe you get a couple $1 million. Somebody, venture capitalist, puts money into you. And these ideas we hear, and some of these people that get funded are just, they're just shit. And you know, for me, and that was why I came up with like Shoe Swipe. And that's why I always say that I'm a doer and I do things and I get things done, and I'm a closer, not in a sales sense as much as just a finishing an app that I started.
Absolutely.
And really Shoe Swipe is a great example of that, you know, going back to it, because I came up with an idea and I went to pitch competitions to like get funding. But at the same time, I was like, I've got the skills to build this thing. So let's just build it and put it into the market and see if it works. And what I realized is that I don't generate a ton of money off it. It's like $2,000-$3,000 a month. But who doesn't want an extra $2,000-$3,000 a month for basically not really doing anything with it?
Yeah.
You know, it's like, but that's an idea that it has something behind it, as far as like, we're taking action to build something, to get something to market, to make money on it. I don't have to go, let's say I took $1 million of investment and that thing only made $3,000 a month.
Right.
Right. I'm not making money. Nobody's making money. We're bankrupt. But with this one, hey, let's go on a vacation. Let's, you know, send the kids.
One of the big things that I'm hearing you say that, again, I want to pull out for, you know, if you're listening to this, Jeremy's doing, right? And the other term he uses is he's a closer. And that's something that most of the folks may be watching this show, maybe you're not a closer yet and you don't realize it. You said, I'm not talking about in terms of sales. You're talking about, that means closing the loop. A lot of you will start a circle. You'll post shit on social media for 2-3 days. And then, well, damn, my business didn't grow 10X. I didn't get any attention. It didn't turn into dollars. And then you stop. Well, you might've been a quarter of the way around that circle and you stopped before you closed it. So that's a huge takeaway that I think was a hidden nugget in this, that I didn't expect that conversation to go there. You've got to be a closer. If it doesn't matter if you're a real estate agent, if you're an app developer, if you're a marketer, if you start something, you have got to finish it. And if you finish it, it will be fruitful. And I think the other thing you had said, you're doing. So the shoe app, you built that before anybody paid you money to do it. People would be surprised how many clients that I will work, if there's benefit there, they have a big network, I will work for free for somebody to prove to them that we're the best, that it will work, because then I win them as a client and I win their entire network. There's so many folks that won't do anything until they've been paid and they don't have the experience, so they're never going to get paid. So I think you're a good example of that. You've had multiple projects that you said, you know what, screw it, I'm going to do it. Some of them have paid off, some of them haven't. But like we just talked about on your podcast, it's about learning from those mistakes and not making them a second time.
Yeah. Would you agree? I just literally the other day talked to a guy. I call him a social influencer. He's a Tai Chi guy, and he's got tons and tons of people watching his videos online. Probably going to do a deal with them for like a revenue share. So, you know, I'm not going to do a deal with you for a revenue share, because you don't, if you came to me with a Tai Chi idea for a revenue share, I'd say hell no. But for him, you know, if you want to do a marketing play, if you're in your lane, then heck yeah, I'll do a marketing share with you, or a rev share.
It's options. That's something that we started doing here recently, because, you know, we won't do it on all deals, but there's some deals that it makes sense and it allows it shows that you have skin in the game. So it's number one, closing the loop. Start something if you're going to finish it. If you're going to, I'm going to do a blog post every week, then don't do it for 3 weeks and then quit. I'm going to do a podcast every week. Then don't do it for 2 months and then stop, because that's how losers are made. And that's where the winners succeed, are the people that actually will close. And again, we're not even talking about sales. I want to take this conversation where your niche and your specialty is, because it's a question that I get asked all the time. And I tell a lot of people no when maybe they need it. I don't really know the answer to give them. Hoping you can shed some light on it. When the hell does when a business, not somebody that has an app idea, when a business says, I think I need an app. When does a business actually need an app? When does an entrepreneur actually need an app for their business?
They need it right now. They need it right now, because I'll give you 500 million reasons why. 500 million unique people go to the App Store, to iTunes and Google every month. Mm-hmm. And all they're doing, and then if you break it down, 60% of the apps that people find and install on their phone are done through search. So if you're a business and you're out there right now and you have a website and you're driving traffic to it through search engine optimization, like that's, you know, or ads or search engine optimization, all the eyeballs now are going mobile. Everybody's going mobile. You know, if you're a social influencer and you're putting videos on, you know, Instagram, Facebook, YouTube, they all live in a different area. Why not just wrap them up and put them all somewhere where somebody can see them? Give a push notification to somebody when you have new content, actually. So I think, you know, does the gas station down the street need an app? Probably not. But if you're a personal trainer, you definitely need an app. You know, like there's
so many. Help me clarify then. So a lot of people don't realize, and see, you just taught me something, because there are a lot of folks, and I'm like, man, you don't need an app. All you need is an informational website. That's where I think a lot of people are confused. They want to take the same stuff they would put on their website and put it on an app. So tell me, all right, everybody needs an app, but what does the difference between my website and the app need to be?
Well, it's got to be original. So that's the same thing that happened with when the web first started out, when websites first started out, all people did was take their catalogs and they put them into a web format. And then nobody could figure out, oh, we spent $1 million to make a website and no one's using it. And then a few years later, people actually came through with like e-commerce, a way to actually buy things online. So with mobile, you do need to give a unique experience. You need to think about your audience, first of all. So like your audience right now, look at all the traffic that's coming to your emails, to your website, all your social posts, it's all coming through your phone. So now, you need to think about your business and how you can deliver content to somebody with a mobile experience. So obviously there's the obvious things like geolocation, maybe something with the camera. There is just stuff like that. But then you might just have an e-commerce website. Maybe you've been crushing e-commerce for the last 10 years and you don't have a mobile app, but that's how people are coming to you. So you at least need a mobile experience. So if somebody comes to your website, people are coming to your website from their phone, first of all. So make sure your website looks good on the phone. And then second of all, look at your business and see if you actually need an app. Is there a unique thing that you can give? And then the other thing that's way deeper, and I probably should have touched on this in the beginning, is if you can create an app that increases sales to your business, or it reduces a cost or some sort of manpower. Like we're doing an app right now for this company. They have a staffing company and the people still like email their time cards. And then someone in their office actually takes the time out of the email and inputs that into like QuickBooks, and then they pay them. And we're like, we're creating an app for them so that the staffing people or the employees can put their time in through the app. And it just goes automatically in, and they're going to be able to get rid of
it. And it saves the business. So, I mean, it goes back to everything that you've done at the beginning of this podcast. You're a problem solver. So essentially when you're developing apps for people, you're helping them find a way to monetize better, save time, to essentially solve a problem. Let me ask you this. So just kind of a rapid fire, just a very quick response to if there's a client in this industry, what's just some food for thought of a way or an idea for an app for them? So somebody that's a restaurant, how could they use an app?
Restaurant, you could do online ordering. You could also do an app like a tableside app, like an iPad that people could actually order. So you could get rid of a menu. So you could actually have photos of the food. I mean, think how many people in your restaurant are looking at Yelp to see pictures of the food while they're ordering.
I love that. We got a lot of clients that are in the restaurant space. So for those of you that are in the restaurant space or know somebody, make sure that you have them check this podcast out, rate, review, and subscribe, obviously, as well. Shameless plug. Somebody that's in the real estate space. So we have a handful of folks that we work with, a lot of folks that are realtors or brokers, somebody that's a real estate agent or owns a company.
Yeah. So real estate, dude, this is ripe for disruption. Okay. Real estate, if you're a real estate professional, how do you get new customers, right? You're getting new customers by same old traditional method that people have always been doing. If you're a new broker, you're going to go out and meet people. What if you had an app? What if I pulled up to a house right now and I saw a house for sale and I could almost do like an Uber and put in a code and or put in the code of that house and it would go out to all the agents in the area and somebody could show up on demand and show me that house. If you were a realtor, would you pay $20, $50 for that to show me that house at that point in time? On-demand service to see a house because I'm right
so an
there.
individual agent. So you know we have a one of our favorite clients to work with. She started her agency from nothing, so she could be the first mover to that space so that her agents have that unfair advantage to where if somebody uses that app. So let's say it, you know, Buy Pittsburgh, and the app is the Buy Pittsburgh app. So there it's her company that is getting those notifications that somebody needs to check out a house.
I'll give you another one in real estate, like Shoe Swipe, right? Left, right, swipe, right, like Tinder. Put houses in there. And then Luke, if you're, where do you live at?
Man, that's powerful.
You can buy the whole.
A lot of multi-million dollar ideas. So that, see, that's the thing. When somebody asks me or tells me, man, I need an app. What they're needing an app for, they actually don't need an app for. They need a website. They're just thinking of, I want to have my information online, and they think they got to have an app developed for it. No, you need a website for that. What you need an app for is something that pushes the needle, that solves a problem, that disrupts the space. Because everything you said, it's not, well, you need an about us and a contact form. You're talking about things that change the game, correct?
Absolutely. I mean, you know, that's what everybody wants. You know, like you were saying, a real estate. But people can do in real estate the same way. You know, I know a guy, he's the top producer in his area. And he said to me, I can't keep doing this forever. There's only so many people I can meet, so many houses I can sell in a year. You know, it's time for dollars. There's only so much time I can do it for.
Yeah.
Like, what else do we do? Think of your business and how an app could help your business. Could it reduce manpower? Could it increase leads? And then once you've created that app, think to yourself, well, should I just hold it as a, you know, a competitive advantage that gives me an advantage over my competitors? Or can I actually create a whole new industry with this? Could I actually, you know, sell this to other companies? I mean, every staffing company in the United States has the same problem for the staffing company we're solving a problem for right now.
Yeah, again, apps are developed and there to solve a problem, to help you save time, to help you scale income, to help you disrupt a space. And you've actually made that more apparent to me than, you know, I had an idea of why you would obviously need an app, but I never in a million years thought to hear you say everybody needs an app. Well, everybody can do something different in their business. We definitely got to have a conversation about what we can be doing for Impact Media, our actual agency, and what we could use an app for. Let me ask you this before. I always like to ask this question before we close things out. So if everything started from scratch again, today's the first day you started your business, what would be the number one thing you would do personally to get attention on what you're doing in your business?
Well, I think it would be doing what I'm doing now, but I would have started it in when video first came out. You know, I know a lot of people out there that are probably listening or watching. They think, well, I need a blog or, you know, something like that. I would say go straight to video, you know, go straight to video, get yourself out in front of people. You know, stop hiding behind the scenes. And I, you know, I'm a software engineer by trade. That's my background. You know, I work with other developers my entire life. And
are you naturally an introverted type of a person?
No, not really. I just kind of fell into it and I was good at it and I enjoy the work. But
as far as putting your content out there, are you naturally a, Is it somebody that, like, see, with me, I've always, I'm that guy that's drooled to get on camera. I want to be in front of the camera. Did that come easy to you, or is it something that was uncomfortable at first?
Because I get a lot of pushback on. At first, I did a blog for a year, and every day that I wrote that blog, I thought I should make, not only write it, but I should do a video of it. And it took me a year and a half. In fact, when I went to 10X GrowthCon last year and saw Hank Norman, and that's when I actually started doing it. I don't mind watching myself on camera. In fact, I oddly like it, but to find a subject, to know I'm going to go Facebook Live tonight on apps, and I'm like, what the heck am I going to talk about? It's not like I have a list of 40 topics that I'm just burning to get out to you, man. It's
for everybody listening, this is super important because, number one, again, read between the lines of what Jeremy's saying. So it didn't come naturally to him. And number two, he doesn't have this all scripted out. When he goes home and he does, he knows the importance of it enough to where, Jeremy, I got to do a Facebook Live tonight. I don't know what the hell I'm going to talk about, but I know it's important to get my name out there, my accomplishments out there, my expertise out there, and you're going to figure it out. So, you know, what with me, that's where I always struggle to answer this question for people, because I've always been somebody that wanted to be in front of the camera. I've just been, I've gravitated to it. You kind of found your path there. And it is something that if you figured it out, anybody can figure it out. Would you agree?
Yeah, definitely. And, you know, it gets back to do it. You know, take some action, take a step towards it, you know, go out on the cliff a little bit. It's not as scary as you think. And once you start doing it, you know, when you start doing it, you'll see an immediate uptick, and then you won't see anything for a while. But at first people will really like, think about when you just go on Facebook and look at Facebook or Instagram, if you see a friend talking on the video, you just want to see it because it's someone you know. And all the people that you know right now, everybody you know wants to see you. They like you. They want to see more of you. They want to know what you're talking about. I mean, I know people are talking about all kinds of stupid stuff online, you know, in these Instagram videos and stuff. But if you actually deliver something of value to people, people are going to really gravitate to it.
Absolutely. Yeah. 100%. This is great content. And it's coming from a completely different perspective than any of the other guests that we've had on this show. So, man, I really appreciate you being here. Where can people find you? Where can people learn more about you, your podcast, what you're doing? If somebody wants to hire you, where can they find that out?
So the main way to get in contact with me is jeremycallahan.com. And everything is there. Like Luke said, I have a podcast. I do a Facebook Live every Tuesday night at 5:30 Pacific. If you want to find me on Facebook, find me on Facebook. I'm on Instagram. I love social media. I love people following me. I love comments. I love helping people.
Spell your first and last name, because I know there's a couple spellings of Jeremy, and I don't want people to get it.
Jeremy. And then the last name is Callahan. Callahan. JeremyCallahan.com.
Awesome. Awesome. We're going to be doing some stuff with Jeremy. We're in the same circles, and he's the best at what he does, and that's who we like to surround ourselves with. And again, that's what this show is about, bringing you the experts in their space and how they can show you how to get attention and obviously turn that into dollars and sales for your business. Listen, this podcast is free. We don't sell you Impact Media Services on here. It is to help you level up your business and be in a better place 6, 12, 24 months from now than you are currently. The way we're going to do that and the way we're going to help more people is if you're on iTunes, if you could rate, subscribe, review the podcast. That is how we get found. That's how we're going to help more people. If you're watching it live, the video version on Facebook and Instagram, you can check that out at the @LukeNessler Facebook and Instagram, Facebook and YouTube channels. And then obviously subscribe and like those pages as well. Jeremy, I appreciate you being here, man. We'll definitely have you on again. I'm sure we'll be crossing paths in person and we'll have to do some content there. And man, it was great to have you on. We appreciate you.
Yeah, thanks for having me today. I really appreciate it, man.
Absolutely. Hey, we'll talk to you guys next week. And remember, if you're going to survive in business today, you have to get attention online. And that's what's going to result in sales for your business. You have to do it now. We'll talk to you guys next week. Is your business struggling right now? You might think that it's because you don't have enough sales. But the reality is, it's because you don't have the attention of the marketplace. This is attention equals dollars. You deserve more. Your business deserves more. And I'm here to teach you everything that I know on how to get the attention that you need and to turn that attention into dollars.